Hello, and thanks so much for joining me for another episode of Face the Facts with April Moss. So glad you're here. If you haven't done so already, make sure you hit that subscribe button and share this episode with your friends and family members. This is going to be a very important show tonight. Now, before we get started, I just want to thank my sponsors, MyPillow.com. Use promo code April. You'll get a great savings. Make sure you get your great discounts on all of the things that you need for your home just before the holidays. Don't forget to use promo code April for up to 60% off. And also, I'd like to also preface that my personal financial advisor, Dr. Kirk Elliott, is available for a consultation. If you want to know how to protect your wealth against the rising inflation, make sure you contact him today. The link is in the description below. And now, without further ado, let's get into tonight's story. We know we've been watching and keeping our pulse on what's happening across school systems across this country. And we've really been hearing from concerned parents for the last couple of weeks, standing up and doing something about critical race theory that's being taught in schools. Tonight, I have a guest from Rochester Public Schools in Michigan, and he's here to share with us about the tactics that are being taught to teachers during professional development to teach them about their white supremacy. And so without further ado, please allow me to welcome Andrew Weaver to the show tonight. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Andrew, you've got several children in Rochester School District. And tell me about when you first learned, became aware of what was going on in the schools and why you decided to really get involved on a deeper level.
So really, it started with COVID. So August of 2020 was the first time I ever attended a board meeting. And that really kind of set it off. The board president at that time said the expectation was not one kid gets infected. That's when it became very clear we weren't dealing with rational people. There wasn't really an idea that we were going to have a functional way of getting our kids back into school. So we lost almost a whole year last year with our kids not being in person. And just as the year went on, just trying to get answers, it became very clear that there was no transparency in how decisions were made. There was clearly an inner circle that only people within that circle's opinions mattered. Because you'd see board meeting after board meeting where people would get up and talk. There's no two-way dialogue. There's no communication. Most questions go unanswered. And so as that year just went along, it just was toxic. It was very toxic in the sense that there was no communication. And then the bullying tactics really started as parents became more upset. So I have two cease and desist letters from the district. Where they said basically I was lying, making false statements, and nothing ever legally has been done to me because, again, nothing I've ever said has been untrue. But that was just a tactic, and I've learned multiple parents have those, that's something that the district relies on. If you question people, if you question them, if you go after them, they're going to use whatever legal resources they have. And traditionally, a cease and desist letter gets most parents to be quiet. Unfortunately, for me, it didn't work. I continued to say, as long as I knew I was being honest, the cease and desist letters were just pieces of paper.
You know, since when have parents not been allowed to be involved in their children's education? You know, since when has it been, they've been deemed domestic terrorists, so to speak, for just being concerned about the influence that is going to be over their children while they're gone from them for 6 hours a day. I mean, this is insanity at another level. But what's really disturbing, Andrew, is the imagery that was sent to me from members of the Rochester Public School System of the recent teachings that teachers were forced to undergo during their professional development day. Let's talk about the pyramid graphic, which I will put up here as well.
Yeah, so definitely as we moved kind of out of COVID and our kids were back in school, still a lot of issues. And so, yes, definitely the conversations around critical race theory, the woke ideology. So we do have a diversity, equity, inclusion officer who makes over $120,000 a year And then ultimately, I think her main job is just to hire consultants to come in and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to identify different woke ideology. So Yolanda Celi Ruiz was the presenter at the most recent professional development on November 2nd. And yes, a brave teacher shared with us the white supremacy pyramid, which basically there is no way you can be white and not fall on that pyramid somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so the teachers were basically told, you are racist, you're a white supremacist if you do any of these things. So you need to, and Dr. Yolanda's message is, you have to be untaught, unlearn all the ways you've done things. So teachers that have been successful in Rochester Community Schools and producing students that go on to multiple levels, great universities, all of a sudden are not equipped to be good teachers. They have to unlearn everything, and it's got to be done under this woke ideology. So yeah, it was absolutely mind-blowing that was what the professional development was about, when, again, there's been no conversation about how are we going to close the gap from the learning loss for the year that our kids were not in school. Mm-hmm. So the priorities have definitely shifted. We're not talking about tangible benefits. We're talking about pushing this woke ideology on our teachers. And it was the fact that a teacher shared it was a big step, because, again, it is something that the district does not look fondly upon. Is mm-hmm. I was told by multiple teachers after the fact that there was a door-to-door search to try and figure out which classroom the picture was taken from. But that mm-hmm. a teacher could come to the board meeting just last night and speak publicly in support of DEI, but if you don't support it, they're going to go door-to-door because you let the community see what they're doing behind closed doors. That's how toxic it is right now in Rochester.
You know, unfortunately, the situation that you talked about the board members, you know, the board meetings where, you know, it's a panel of people sitting there and there's no back and forth discourse. It's like they've already made up their minds of what they're going to do. Parents are able to talk for a few minutes, but that you're not getting feedback, you're not getting results, you're not getting your questions answered. And it's like talking to a brick wall, not just here in Rochester Community Schools, but it seems like across the country, this is happening to frustrated parents. So a lot of parents end up taking their children out of school, but you have decided to stay in and fight the good fight. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. I think it's every parent has to have that right to choose what to do with their kids, whether it's homeschooling, private school, charter schools. It's got to be a parent's choice. I grew up with a single mom. I have the means now that I could pull my kids out of school. My wife is a public school teacher, so I believe in the public school system. And I also believe if everyone pulls their kids out that can, the system will fail. And so I am committed to fighting it from the inside, because I do believe the public school system is what makes America different. The opportunity at good education is what makes us different. And so that's
if it's good education, but right now we're not seeing that, right?
Correct. Yeah. And that's why we have to stay in it and fix it, right? And I think mm-hmm. the majority is, and that's why I'll be the first to say I was the problem. Parents like me that didn't pay attention. I didn't know who the board members were before August of 2020. So I have to accept responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. But I also now have to say I'm going to be part of the solution going forward. And mm-hmm. so to that point, we all have to accept as parents that we allowed it to get this way. Mm-hmm. But so then we have to fix it. And that, I guess, is part of it too. If we all pull our kids out, then we're all just turning and running away from it. So I think there is a part of standing and fighting for it, but also then ultimately, because again, it's going to be the ones that supposedly DEI and some on the left say that they're advocating the most for will be the ones that are hurt the most by this. They'll be the only ones left holding it when everyone else goes out and finds another means to get the education because they have the dollars to do it. Mm-hmm. The ones that don't will be stuck in the system. And so, no, right. 100%. I believe that we fix it by taking on the challenges and, mm-hmm. and going after them. And I have made throughout this journey, which I never saw myself being an advocate this way. Again, I work in the manufacturing world. It's head down, grind. And so this is definitely a different atmosphere. I've met so many parents, left, right, religious, atheists, that are really we are actually finding common ground. So I think this is an opportunity for us to really embrace what we really want our kids to see. That yes, so there are going to be challenges that are hard, but we got to go after mm-hmm. them.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. So that is actually really an interesting perspective. You're saying that you're seeing party lines crossing here on this issue, that mm-hmm. conservatives, liberals, independents, religious, non-religious people are all coming together and saying we don't want our children to be indoctrinated in this way.
Absolutely. And I think it's even ones that are, because we're getting past the nice words of DEI. Right? Because everyone can hear diversity, equity, inclusion, go, well, what's wrong with that? And as we're peeling the layers back, and again, I think that's what the pyramid really did. The pyramid ripped the Band-Aid off. When people mm-hmm. saw that, they're like, okay, the words from one of the teachers within the district was, it's the most intense thing that they'd seen. So they were mm-hmm. used to some of the touchy-feely diversity trainings we've all go to and all that. This was different. This was something that went farther, and I think that's what got parents' attention. I think mm-hmm. that's why the board meeting was probably the best attended that I've seen in the last 2 years. Just yesterday, is mm-hmm. that's the line too far of mm-hmm. wait a minute, this isn't the hey we all go to the class and we say hey yep treat everyone nice and you know make sure you're aware of biases, but no, you literally are calling all our teachers that are white supremacists. Like mm-hmm. that is. We all know what that word means. That's not,
yeah.
We don't walk around the street and we're not walking by white supremacists every day.
Right. No, you're exactly right. So tell me, you know, too, there's other things that have been done in Rochester schools just in the last year. Tell me about the gender class and what you know about it. Because that's getting some kickback too from parents.
So there was an elective class that started this school year. Which is a gender ethnicity class. I'm probably not saying that correct. It was sold as a history class. So one parent has kind of really dove into that of just wanting to understand what it is. The mm-hmm. DEI director and the head for the high schools said it would be two-sided. It is a history-based class. So she submitted some FOIA requests, got some information. It is definitely not a history class. It's not based on history. It's definitely one-sided. But then as she continued to try and get more information, when was this class approved? What board meeting minutes? She's just getting stonewalled every day.
So no answers at all from the administration of the school?
No. She's getting so recently she shared that actually at the board meeting just last night as well, she did a great job, fabulous parent that spoke out very detailed. Was basically she was told that those documents don't exist in the district office. The district is not facilitating the FOIA request. So basically no lesson plans, not able to see what the material is being used, what's being taught to the kids. And it definitely-
Yeah, like, highly like, unacceptable.
And she really was just asking, there should be a process. And I think this is where a lot of us really stand on DEI and all this stuff. If they believed in it, they should be able to come to a board meeting, put it out in front, and make the case based on the merit.
Absolutely.
The fact you can't do that tells you that there's something wrong with it. Like, if mm-hmm. you can't sit out in a room and say, this is why we need it, this is the tangible benefit from it, and then vote on it, and say, mm-hmm. okay, yes, board, we approve this, we're putting it. Mm-hmm. It's not about everyone agreeing, but if you aren't even willing mm-hmm. to have that conversation, mm-hmm. you are admitting to yourself there is something wrong with this. And so I think that's where parents, where this all comes back to, I think most parents in Rochester right now, Rochester Community Schools, is it's a lack of transparency, it's a lack of communication, and then ultimately the reason we don't have those two things is because, yes, there is a political woke ideology being pushed inside our schools. And again, thankfully to a handful and a growing handful of teachers that know this is wrong, are getting braver and are making sure that they are letting us know what's there, but we also have to make sure that they know we support them. And that's why change has to happen, because our teachers should not live in fear that just because they have a difference of opinion, they're gonna lose their jobs. The fact that they feel that way tells us that our leadership of the district is wrong.
You're absolutely right, Andrew. We need more brave teachers to speak out against this. And, you know, again, this is we don't even know the impacts that are going to happen from this type of teaching. Indoctrination, really, it's not teaching, it's indoctrinating the children in the schools. We don't even know the full impact yet, because clearly this is just something that was started in the last year and a half, you said, when COVID hit, basically, with this, you know, gender classes that have nothing to do with history. And it certainly warrants a response from Dr. Shaner, the superintendent of Rochester Schools. Which, by the way, that brings me to the next point, that just recently we learned that allegations or a lawsuit was brought against Dr. Shaner and another member of the board. Can you tell me a little bit about the lawsuit that was filed against those two individuals?
Yes, yeah, so I don't know a lot of the specific details. I do know it is a parent that spoke out in just opposition of COVID. So this would have been definitely during the COVID time. It was not critical race theory based or anything of that. It was definitely just around getting our kids back into in-person education, which they were denied. Mm-hmm. And so the lawsuit it's a federal lawsuit. It names Dr. Shaner, and it names the board president, Kristen Bull. I believe that they are started depositions in that case. So mm-hmm. I don't know where it stands as far as that goes. But it is around that wrongful termination, that they basically had her fired or were take part in having her fired, basically for being outspoken against the district.
For being vocal against Rochester schools.
Correct. So
yeah, we'll definitely do a follow-up. Yeah, we'll do a follow-up story on that for sure as that develops. And we thank you so much, Andrew. Do you have any last words that you'd like to say to any parents that are within the district currently, maybe afraid to come to your side and speak out against this, or just anything in general you'd like to say to maybe the board members themselves?
Yeah, so it's to the community at this point. We've got to stand together. And I think if there's one thing that can be said, like I said, that's why I make such a big point. The fear that people have isn't real. Like, the cease and desist letters I have is them saying they will use legal means. They have dollars. If they were going to do something, they would have done it by now. So we got to realize it's a lot more bark than bite. If we're honest and we just stick to facts and we stick to not getting emotional when we don't, you know, overly emotional. I get it's passions, our kids, but let's stick to the facts. Let's stick to the topics. We can take on big challenges, and we agree on a lot more than we disagree. We aren't Democrats and Republicans. We're not conservatives and liberals. We're parents that just want the best for our kids. And it's a lot more bark than bite.
Well, thank you so much, Andrew. Appreciate all you're doing there to make a difference. And we'll have to absolutely get an update in the next couple of weeks to see what's the latest and what's going on with this. But certainly so glad that you brought this to our attention. And we thank the brave teacher, by the way, as well, who supplied us with the white supremacist pyramid graphic. That's absolutely just insanity. But another example of the Marxist ideology infiltrating into our school system.
Absolutely. April, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, take care.
You too.